What happens if you break down on the highway? Sometimes our joy breaks down. We may be going through a divorce and our joy breaks down. We may be going through death and our joy breaks down. We may be going through the loss of a job and our joy breaks down. But let me encourage you that your joy doesn't have to stay broke down. You are not stranded on the road, that there is some roadside assistance.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church.
Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Joy, Riding Down the Highway of Life with Joy from our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Joy, Riding Down the Highway of Life with Joy.
We'll have joy and say praise God, as we heard this morning Amanda sharing with us, that God is going to make it see me through. I've got faith, I've got trust in God, and no matter what the trial, no matter what the circumstance, God is going to help me through, and I'm going to have joy in the midst of these circumstances. As a matter of fact, James says, count it all joy. Now, in the Greek, what he's saying is to count it joy. For instance, if you've got some supplements, many of us take supplements, right? And if you can take supplements that are pure, or you can take supplements that's cut with something else. And usually if it's cut with something else, you don't get the maximum benefit out of it because it's been watered down a little bit. Now, they still try to pass it off as this supplement or that supplement, but the fact is, if you look on the label, you will see that it's been watered down. So a lot of times when we look for supplements, even though they might be more expensive, we need to look for ones that has pure this and all this in it, and it's not cut with anything else. Well, James is saying, don't let your faith be cut with anything else. Don't let your joy be cut with anything else. Don't have joy, 50% joy and 50% sorrow. Don't have 75% joy and 25% doubt. James said, have pure joy. He said, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your circumstances, he said, count it pure joy. Don't mix your joy with anything else. And see, a lot of times, you know, we waver back and forth. Oh, I got joy. I don't have joy. I got joy. I don't have joy. I got joy, I don't have joy. I got joy, I'm sad. I got joy, I feel bad. I got joy, I'm angry. I got joy, I'm bitter. I got joy, I'm unforgiving. We mix it with all kinds of stuff. James says, count it pure joy when you fall into various trials. See, into every life, a little rain must fall. And troubles are coming your way. And when troubles come your way, he says to count it pure joy. I don't know about you, but there's a song that's been burning in my spirit since last week, since I heard it last week. I go to sleep and it's in my mind. I wake up and it's in my mind, and I can't get it out of my heart. And somebody said this: I've lost some good friends along life's way. Some loved ones departed in heaven to stay. But thank God I didn't lose everything. I've lost faith in people when they said they cared. In time of my crisis, they were never there. But in my disappointment, in my season of pain, one thing never wavered and one thing never changed. I never lost my hope. I never lost my joy. I never lost my faith. I never lost my praise. In the midst of all this, that circumstances might have tried to suck the joy out of my life. Circumstances might have beat me down, but I never lost my praise. I never lost my joy. Is that your testimony today? Can you say that in the midst of whatever you're going through, that I never lost my joy? We got to watch out for people who are experiencing road rage. When you travel down the highway of life, there are a lot of people out there who are experiencing road rage. Whenever you get on the road and somebody's angry and you're not going as fast as they want you to go, or maybe you mistakenly pulled in front of them and cut them short, you didn't do it intentionally, and all of a sudden they throw an obscene gesture, and I've had people pull beside me, around me, and in front of me, just so that they could let me know that they were displeased with something I did on the road and gave me an obscene gesture. I've had people ride beside me and grit on me. I've had people stare me down. I'm sure that y'all been, some of y'all might have been the ones, I hope y'all didn't throw any. I don't mind you gritting and staring, but don't be throwing obscene gestures. So we run into road rage. And in life, there are people that Satan has targeted to come after you and to take your joy. These are people who are experiencing road rage, and they are trying to rob you of your joy. Now, the natural tendency when somebody attacks you is for you to retaliate or seek revenge. But thank God that Jesus gives us a word of instruction whenever we are on this journey of life and we experience people out there with road rage. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And this is Jesus' advice to you. Whenever you are dealing with people who are coming out and have symptoms of road rage, notice what he says here. Verse 11. Blessed are you when the road rager shall cuss you out, throw obscene gestures at you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Look what he says. When this happens, what did he say? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets or who were before you. He says here that whenever you are a victim of road rage, he says, let that, when somebody comes and they criticize you unfairly, or they cheat you, or they speak against you, whenever these road ragers are out there, Jesus says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Now, you wouldn't pick this up from just reading this in the text. So this is why you need to come to church, because Pastor Glaze throws in these little nuggets that you might not necessarily get from reading this on your own. In the Greek, the phrase exceeding glad, you know what it means? It means to skip and shout for joy. So whenever somebody comes against you, the Bible says, come on with it. Come on, yeah, come on with some more. Skip and shout for joy. Why? Because God sees it, and great is your reward in heaven. So when somebody talks about you, somebody criticizes you, somebody puts you down, Jesus said, skip and shout for joy. Amen. Bless the Lord. Say something else. Because my joy is being fulfilled. And great is my reward in heaven. As you travel down the highway of life, the journey begins with salvation. Enjoy the scenery. What do you do when you travel through the storms and the valleys? Watch out for people who are experiencing road rage. And how do you deal with detours? See, there's a lot of detours that will come up. And detours are frustrating. Have you ever been riding down the road and I know sometimes when they're working on the tunnel at the parkway, and they closed down the parkway from Switzerville or from Wilkinsburg, and then they detour you through Wilkinsburg, down Penn Ave. Man, you know, that is one of the most frustrating things that you have to experience. Well, praise God that I, like many of you, know how to get around that. If you don't, then see me afterwards. No, I'm just kidding. But it's frustrating when you are detoured around. And in life, you're going to hit some detours. In life, you may have things planned out, worked out, things that you want to move along smoothly. You've got your best life planned, and all of a sudden somebody comes in there and throws a monkey wrench in it. They throw a deep, and then now you got to go around and try to come back on the road. That is a part of life. But in the midst of it, you can't lose your joy. Acts chapter 20. Paul was beaten. Paul was chained. And as we read in Acts chapter 20, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And he says that he's bound with chains. He said he shed many tears in verse 19 of chapter 20, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and trials. In verse 22, he says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." But look what he says. Oh, man, I love verse 24. He said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with" what? Wow. Wow. "So that I might finish my course with joy." What is it that God has called you to do? Have there been detours, roadblocks in the way, that have robbed your joy, that have sucked the life out of you? Don't let that happen. If anybody had a reason to let the detours discourage him, it was the Apostle Paul. But Paul, I love what he says. He says that, none of these things moved me. None of these things moved me. That they didn't detract or deter me from the course that I was pursuing. None of these things moved me, but I held on to my joy in the midst of it. I didn't lose my joy. That all these obstructions and detractions and all these things going on, that they didn't move me, and I held on to my joy. In life, you will have to deal with detours, but be like the Apostle Paul. Don't let these things move you. What about stopping at service stations? Well, all of us know that we can run low on our joy. And just let me give you two things here that when you start running low on your joy, Psalm 16:11 says, "In God's presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore." When your joy begins to get a little low, get to the presence of God. In heaven, the angels are worshiping, the saints are bowing down. Everybody in heaven is filled with joy. And why is that? Because they are in the presence of God. And if you want to have your joy replenished, if you want to have your joy restored, if you get out here and you cussing folks out, you're angry with people, you're criticizing, you're negative, you have a bad attitude, a bad spirit, then you know what you need to do? You need to get into the presence of God. You need to experience his joy, because in his presence is fullness of joy. And then there's another place. The second thing I want to say as far as this filling station is concerned is that get into the word of God. Psalm 19, verse 8. It says that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That God's word brings joy to your heart. Well, number seven, what happens if you break down on the highway? Sometimes our joy breaks down. We may be going through a divorce and our joy breaks down. We may be going through death and our joy breaks down. We may be going through the loss of a job and our joy breaks down. But let me encourage you that your joy doesn't have to stay broke down. You are not stranded on the road, that there is some roadside assistance. Help is on the way. All you need to do is pick up the phone, get on the heavenly prayer line, call the AAA service of heaven, and help is on the way. Well, how do you know that? Because Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, weeping. Maybe you've lost your joy. Maybe your joy has got so small that you can't even feel it. The psalmist says that's all right. You might be broke down on the road right now, but stay focused. Call the AAA of heaven. Weeping may endure for a night, but praise God, help is on the way. Joy is coming. Joy comes in the morning. Oh, I'm rushing through this thing now. I'm going to finish up. Number eight. You can read number eight in your notes. Points of interest along the way. And then number nine. When the journey is completed. When the journey is completed. When I've got to the place where I want to go. One day, as I had the opportunity last Thursday to go by the home of Gerald Van Story and pray for him, grab a hold of his hand, pray for Brother Van Story. Then I got to the church Friday morning and received the message that Brother Gerald had gone home to be with the Lord. And so many, unless the rapture takes place, most of us are going to experience death. And when we die, we are going to stand before the Lord. And when we stand before the Lord, we're going to be happy that we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm going to be so happy that I received Christ as my Savior. When I get there, somebody's going to say, Glaze, how did you get here? And I'm just going to say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And I'm just going to be so happy that I'm there in the presence of God, that I was saved and I'm there in the presence of God. But there is an added joy that we can have, that all of us can have when we stand before the presence of God. As I close this morning, turn to the book of Philippians, and I'm going to tell you about this added joy that you can have when you stand before the presence of God. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 16. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to be excited when I get to heaven. Brother Van Story, I'm sure that he's rejoicing around the throne of God right now. Pray for his family. And the service is here this Saturday, a memorial service here this Saturday at 11 o'clock. But he's around the throne, rejoicing in the presence of God right now. Apostle Paul knew that one day he was going to stand before the Lord. And look what he says in verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That I may rejoice in that day when I stand before Christ. That I might rejoice in that day when I have to meet my Savior, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul talks about an added joy, that it's going to be a joy being in God's presence, but it's going to be an added joy, that if you know that you run in such a way that your labor has not been in vain, you know that you serve God with all your heart, you know that you've laid it all on the line. You know that you didn't take anything back to the locker room with you. And that when you stand before the Lord, not only will you be happy that you are in his presence, but you are going to rejoice knowing that you didn't labor in vain. Oh, how joyful is that going to be when we stand before the Lord and we hear those words, well done, well done. As I conclude today, there were two men who were seriously ill, and they were in the same hospital room. One man had a bed by the window, and they sat him up every day because the fluid had to drain from his lungs. As he was raised up to look out the window, his roommate, who there was a curtain between the two of them, lay flat on his back and just laid there day after day. And then the man who was by the window, he began to tell him what he saw as he looked out the window. The man described a park. He said, there's a sparkling lake, and there's tall evergreens, there's sunsets, and there's ducks that are round the pond, and people are feeding the ducks. I can see children laughing and climbing on trees, and there's couples that are walking through the park arm in arm. There's a young boy that just kissed his grandmother on the cheek. And there's a parade that's marching through the park. And every day, this man by the window would describe to the man on the other side what he was seeing out the window. And after he would describe it, they would just sit up for hours and talk about what he had just explained. Hours. And this went on for days and months. And then one day the nurse came in the room to tend to the man and found out that the man that had the window had died. And they took him out of the room. And as the other man said, well, you know, now's my opportunity. I'm sad that my friend died, but I really want to look out this window and see the things that he saw. And so he asked the nurse, could he be moved? And she transferred him to this other bed. And he got in the bed and lifted himself up and looked out the window, and all he could see was a brick wall. And he called the nurse in and he said, why did this man describe, you know, all these things to me day after day? Why did he tell me all these things day after day? And the nurse said, well, I don't even know what he was describing to you because the man was blind and he couldn't even see. But here's a man who, in the midst of difficult circumstances, who in the midst of his blindness was able to see the beauty in his life. And the reason, because he kept the joy in his heart. And I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what circumstances you're dealing with today. But if you've got joy in your heart, you can see the beautiful scenery. If you don't have the joy in your heart, then all you're going to see is a brick wall. As we pray today, we've been sharing prayers. And so let this be our prayer today as we close. I thank you, most gracious Lord, for the gift of joy. So many times in life, I am overwhelmed by the cares of the world and robbed of this precious fruit of the Spirit. Please forgive me when I fail to exhibit joy in my life. Understand that my joy is not based on my circumstances, but on you. Please help me remember this and be joyful in whatever I may be going through. When I realize my joy is not where it should be, let me stop to spend time in your presence and in your word. Help me to live a life filled with joy. And when I stand in your presence, let me rejoice knowing I have not labored in vain. Father, take this prayer, sanctify it in our hearts, and use it for your honor and glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Suffering, Called to Suffer. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Joy, Riding Down the Highway of Life with Joy, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Joy, Riding Down the Highway of Life with Joy. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Joy, Riding Down the Highway of Life with Joy. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.